And welcome to Vasco Radio. This is our fourth episode. Today is Saturday, July the 23rd. I want to welcome back Prometheus. He's been on a brief hiatus to the beautiful side of Berlin, from my understanding. How was it, Prometheus?
I always like to return to that place. I've been living there for quite a while, and so I have a very special relationship to that city. I do remember the place from the time when it was still divided into Eastern and Western Berlin, and with all the sad parts of history that have been going on there, and I've seen all the developments, so that makes me like the place even more, and there's always something to be experienced. Yes, we had Little Devil with us, so he was keeping us up, so we couldn't do very much, but it was a pleasure nevertheless. It's always a nice place to go.
Very nice, very nice. And how is the Little Devil?
Oh, he's fine, actually. He's keeping his parents quite busy. He's quite kind, leaving his dad his time on the computer and in the Vesca studio, so I'm very grateful. I appreciate that very much.
Well, my pleasure, my pleasure. What I'd like to just kind of briefly touch on is the amount of violence in the world right now that seems to be just we can't even really say it's the beginning. It's almost like history is again repeating itself. I'm calling it a terrorist attack of what happened there in Norway. It's very similar to what happened here in the United States with Timothy McVeigh. And, you know, we're seeing this increase in violence because I'm seeing a sense where ultimately as the world is connecting and we're seeing countries now merging into a more global take, you know, I'm expecting a huge and dramatic increase where people have this almost fundamentalist idea when it comes to the approach of their homeland. And what I'm curious about now is, you know, ultimately most people are going to go into like a spaniel-like state, and this is where I'm not going to say might is right, but it's going to be really the rise of the individual, because that seems to me what the higher bees have programmed into the mind of most people that participate in a suburban community. You know, people like to view themselves of living in this bubble of individuality, when in reality they're just all the same. They're sheep marching along to the same tunes. And now they're starting to see that their governments are pulling away all of their liberties. You know, they're making them pay high money for the fuels that they're powering their monster cars with. And they're running out of funds to participate in the ridiculous game that was created for them. And so the uprising of this violence is only going to increase. That's my personal prediction on it. I want to say to the people there in Norway, you know, my heart goes out to you guys, that it really is something that is going to escalate. It's going to be something that history is going to keep repeating, because in a sense, are we of enough of a mindset to go globally? Are we ready for that? That's what I'm truly, truly interested in. And when it comes down to it, in order for that to happen, a lot of things have to change. You know, that there has to be an organization set up that's going to bring everything together as the one police force, as the one military, and maybe even as our one space program. In order to get there, we're going to have to go through a lot of violent issues, because most of the people are not going to go along with it.
It's one of these backward tendencies. It should also be noted that the perpetrators of this terrorist attack in Norway, they are fundamentalist Christians. That is also interesting to note. And once again, evidence of how devastating the effects of these belief systems are in the world.
Really? Absolutely. I had no idea.
I would even say that, and I guess I always say that in every episode, that Christianity as well as Islam, these are not religions, these are mental diseases.
I agree 100%.
And that is absolute. These events are evidence for that thesis, and Well, and in a way, these are some of the backwards tendencies that try to avoid the world going global. You know, that these people are trying to push the world back into to the national state, to the old traditional structures, which they know and which they feel comfortable with, and they think they can block progress from happening, which they can't. This is a pipe dream. The sad thing is they are also dragging other people into this destructive realm and destroying their lives, and that's the pity.
Yeah. Well, in order for change to be institutioned, you know, it's going to... The conditioning factors here in the United States are very flawed from how I view them. You know, just taking away people's liberties is enough to create a monster out of a perfectly healthy human being. And then, you know, but I had no idea that these people in Norway were fundamentalist Christians. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. In fact, I think the whole fiasco in Oklahoma City, Timothy McVeigh was a very religious man. From my understanding, of course, you know, it was limited by the media and from what was fed to me. But from my understanding, he tied into white supremacy, and it's all ridiculous. It's exactly what you're talking about. And these probably will be the groups, the new groups, these overzealous people, these Christians, these Muslims, you know, they are radicals. And these are things that I've been talking about in my blog, Christianity Not Tolerated, you know.
Events of the world always bring us back to certain points. So some of these tendencies always come back.
It is evidence of the Vasca. You know, now that those who are aware of what the Vasca is, well, now it's time to take – we cannot allow these people to throw up an umbrella now and make excuses for the actions of these people. Let's bring the real issues in. You know, apparently this man had enough conviction in his mind and in his heart that he felt justified in his actions, and it was most likely due to his very religious standing. You know, if in fact this man was a Christian fundamentalist, then in his mind he felt justified for what he was doing. We have to keep in mind that religion says things like, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You know, if a Christian takes that literally, well, that puts me in danger of that Christian's wrath.
Everybody.
You know, these are one of the key concepts. You know, Dr. LaVey, he appealed to me intellectually. He appealed to me emotionally, philosophically. He appealed to me on so many different levels. But he never, ever spoke to me in a way that would make me think that I had the right somehow to take life away from another human being, you know.
Exactly.
And how, you know, when I hear people saying that all religion is bad, well, I'm here to tell you it's not. You know, Satanism is a very human almost approach to reality, and there's nothing in Satanism that even remotely would associate with such, you know, criminal behavior. And in
Not
fact,
at all.
Satanism goes against the whole criminal aspect. And for these people to feel justified by the religions that they're practicing is all the more reason to take that fucking old-ass religion and throw it away.
Yeah, that's it. I think the problem is what you have mentioned, that these people are the programming in their minds, that fundamentalist Christian programming, that is really... that is something very dangerous, and then that combined with a person who doesn't have much to lose in life because they have a screwed up life anyway, so their life is a mountain of bullshit. A dangerous situation. You have to put up with these people programmed in a very dangerous way and also having nothing to lose. They can walk into a mall with explosives on their body and blow up everybody because they don't have anything to lose. But the problem is the people they kill, they have a lot to lose. They have a life they may love, and they have everything to lose. So this is a real hazard.
And that's the key point. society keeps making excuses for the actions of the very people who cause them the greatest threats. You know, when people take their religion a lot more seriously than the ones who don't, you know, most people don't, they don't take their religion seriously. They go to church on a Sunday to look good to the to their peers that they live in their society.
I have no problem with these people, you know. They leave me alone, I leave them alone.
That's fine. That's fine. But in a sense, when the people who do take it literally, when the people who do actually want to practice what it is that's being preached, you know, these same people that don't take it seriously will make excuses for the actions of the very people that claim to be the same identity. You know, and they'll say things like, well, he took it a little bit too far, but. Mm-hmm. No, fuck your butt. It shouldn't have been there in the first place. That's how I'm looking at it. You know, and it's really funny because especially in Norway, back in the 90s, you know, kids were burning down churches over there in the name of the fact that they didn't want them there. They wanted to be going back to their more traditional roots. You know more about it than I do.
I know.
You know, they were clearly sending a message there. And now look at the evidence. Everything that they warned these people about just attacked them.
I think you can say these two tendencies are happening simultaneously, maybe. A very good example of what you mentioned is what is mentioned in the book Lords of Chaos. That's a great book, and that deals with this phenomenon. Young people from the, mostly from the black metal scene, who had a pagan idea in mind, who have been using their anti-Christian ideas, bringing it to the point to burn down churches. It has nothing to do with Satanism. In fact, Satanism is law-abiding. That says everything. So, and these people are really devil worshippers or pagan people. Of course, there's obviously a broader anti-Christian sentiment within broad circles. And at the same time, there is this margin of radical fundamentalists, Christians, and this is happening simultaneously. You have both groups. The ideal case would be, I think, if we took an island, we brought both groups there, arm one group and give weapons to the other, and then let the problem solve itself in a way.
Now that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
I see. Wesker Radio needs to raise some money to put the plans into reality.
absolutely. You know, the people. You know, in my analogy, they had absolutely nothing to do with Satanism, but it was people over there pretty much rejecting the idea of the invasion of Christianity, the invasion of the whole. Fundamentalist aspect. You know, they were raging against it. They didn't want it there. Their approach was flawed. I don't agree with vandalism. I don't agree with criminal behavior. But they were clearly trying to send a message. And now that message, you know, it's blowing back up in their face because those people were allowed to make excuses for them. And this is what the Vasca is all about. You know, when we designed this concept, it's all about throwing it back in their face so that they're not allowed to make excuses for it anymore. You know,
exactly.
You can't get away with it anymore. Now you've got to look at it. Now you've got to. Now you have to examine the man who just killed all of those people over there. And if it truly was a fundamentalist Christian, well, I imagine there's going to be probably some changes instilled in Norway.
Well, I would like to take up is your point, the point that you have just made, that these people, these fundamentalist Christians or other people who are in a similar mindset, these people are always trying to escape from the responsibility for their actions. And that is also something that I would like to comment on in a different context. The event I would like to comment on has to do with the present economic developments within the EU, especially with regard to Greece and the crisis. You might have heard something about that. It is coming up again and again, and even though there have already been a number of attempts by the strong economies here in Europe to save Greece from national bankruptcy, it is still coming up again and again. These attempts have not quite had the desired effect so far, and a new bailout package is planned. And of course, with any of the measures taken, the strong economies are the ones to come up for the expenses. That's what you can hear when you follow the talks that are going on. What is new now is that the head of states are considering cancellation of debt, while at the same time wanting to get private enterprises and investors to deal in credits for Greece. So they want to get these people to give money for that bailout package. The point is, this boils down to these private enterprises and investors and the taxpayers over here to pay the bills for Greece, and that's the point. Which, in a way, is to support the weak at the expense of the strong, if you will. So you see, the economy has been a mess for quite a while, and it's nothing new. It's nothing that has happened just now. It's been happening for years. Now the point is, we are the ones to pay for their failures, so to say. And instead of those who have created the mess taking responsibility for their own failures, the strong economies have to pay because they are afraid of a crisis that might endanger their wealth. The euro, for example. Of course, that is understandable, but yet in the long run, this is not going to work, because even the strongest economy cannot afford to support the failures for all time. And the major point is that such help, in brackets, only results in ongoing malfunctioning, since those responsible are protected from the consequences, which is the point that you have made. In this case as well, these people are... this bailout package protects the ones responsible from the consequences of their action. And that's what I think the major problem here. And why I mention this is because it shows a certain mentality that's behind it, and the devastating effects of that mentality. And these can be observed in many different forms. And the mentality that people or economies think they can simply buy everything, like consumers, the hordes of consumers who accumulate immense debts because they think they should enjoy a standard of living that they simply can't afford. So they take up credits, they borrow money, and they pay off certain things, and this way they gather up their debts. And the worst thing that could happen to them is simply that they can't pay, and so there is cancellation of debt, so they are freed from the responsibility or the consequences of their action. You can see that with consumers. I think it's pretty much the same thing in the U.S. with many consumers, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm seeing it right now. But the thing here in the United States, instead of canceling the debt, they just print more money and increase the debt. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's
just absolutely ridiculous.
And it's the same problem. And then you can see that when you look at third world countries that swallow billions in terms of development aid paid by the Western world, and then you have groups from these countries who openly claim that they hate the Western world so much. Nevertheless, they take the money without ever achieving any progress in these countries. So the money is, you can flush the money down the toilet. It's the same thing, in fact.
But this is why I've always been in such agreement with the founding fathers of the United States. The picture they had in mind for this country, everything was catered to this country. The original structure has been so diluted now. You know, supporting the weak at the expense of the strong, it does one thing and one thing only, and that brings the strong down to the weak's level. And which is, to me, you know, government officials, and I see this in all governments, they try to make their citizens feel and have a sense of equality. And there can be no equality in a democracy, especially here in the United States. But people like to think that there is such a thing as equality, which I guess is why that they're so eager to lend aid to third world countries, to the homeless, to whoever. But the only thing that achieves is it helps bring down those who do work, those who do take action, the strong, the elite, and it only makes things harder on the truly deserving. And when people start infringing, when it starts spilling into my reality, that's when it becomes an issue. And it became an issue a long time ago. It's just I have to work diligently to not let that affect me personally. That's the key factor of being a Satanist, you know.
For the Satanists, it's a no-brainer, I think. But nevertheless, it's interesting to put this into perspective with some events and developments taking place in the world.
Absolutely.
And anyway, you can't escape from these things. As a taxpayer, I can see I pay immense sums as taxes, and this money is used for these things. And, of course, I know with a bailout package for Greece, there's a lot coming, a lot of costs coming towards us, and we are the ones to pay for that.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't see where this gets people. I don't see the people in Greece getting any further with that, because they go on as they have always done. I mean, if people are retired at the age of 45, I ask myself what is happening there. So we have to work until 67 or almost 70 in order to be retired. And these people are working until they're 45, and then, then they have pensions that are really extraordinary, crazy.
Well, that's what I call living beyond your means.
Definitely, definitely.
It sounds to me like that government is allowing the people to live beyond their means. And if they're calling now, you know, when the economy collapsed over there, I made the remark to Lady Loki that you're going to be seeing a backlash of this for a very long time, and it's going to affect many different people in different ways. And it has its comparisons to how the United States and Mexico get mm-hmm. along. You know, when Mexico's economy collapsed, we seen a tremendous, you know, increase in illegal aliens here in the United States. I still call them illegal aliens. People like to call them immigrant workers, but I call them what they truly are, you know, and I'm not supportive of it, and I don't think that I have any indication at all. I don't walk on glass, and I make it known. I am not supportive of that. The idea of people coming into my country, and it is my country because I pay taxes.
Sure.
And the idea of these people coming in here and getting free health care, taking advantage of everything that I work for, I'm going to make my voice known there.
I think it's a question of merit also. That's also why I like why I'm very supportive of the idea of meritocracy that Satanism also propagates. The idea that you have to achieve something in order to enjoy certain rights. You have to gain these rights. You have to conquer these rights. These rights are not there automatically. It's not a freeloader society. That's not going to work. And in fact, this whole mentality is leading straight into collapse. I mean, of course, in the short run, these people, of course, they get some. How can we say that they gain some time? So they gain some time that they don't have to pay the money immediately for the credits or the money they owe. It is even said that the interest rates are cut. So, but then I ask myself, how can you expect a bank, for instance, to give money to Greece and to say we dispense with the interest rates? How can you expect them to do that? I mean, that's their business. Their business is to give money to people and to earn money by the interest rates. If you take that away, how is that going to work?
That's just absolutely ridiculous. It sounds to me like they're just handing money over to them and
yes.
not expecting anything in return. And if that was the case, then America really needs to get in on that. I can't even begin
crazy.
To think of the interest rate that we have with China.
So the people are told over here, well, we have to do this. We are all doing fine, so we have to take care of those who are not doing fine. And of course, it's our duty to do that. A feeling of guilt is built up in people's consciousness. And I ask myself, what is going to be next? Greece is one country. Spain is going to be next. Portugal, Italy is going to be next. What then? So are we going to pay for all these people?
That's very 68, that's very hippie-like, you know, to cater to the weak. Personally, when it comes to the VASCA, see, and what we're doing right now is the VASCA. We're giving it, mm-hmm. we're putting it right back in their face, and we're telling them, no, this is not going to work. The strong, the citizens, people like yourself, you shouldn't have to have your money taken away just because other people don't know how to manage theirs. That's not your problem. That's almost like social fascism. How can the strong productive be liable for stupidity?
And after all, you see, when it comes to handling the money or to take care of it, they are not reliable anyway. So you give money to them, and you know that they you can flush it down the toilet. It's the same thing.
This is going back to, you know, when we first got started. This is where mm-hmm. normal, productive people turn into monsters. And mm-hmm. when a man goes out and when he works and when he's working diligently to take care of his family, when he comes home, as a Satanist speaking, that man should be able to relax in any way that he feels necessary. And for the government to take away his right to just be able to come home and relax, but I'm sorry, that requires money. No, that's not right, and that's something to challenge the government on. This is where, you know, the VASCA would come in very, very fluid-like, almost in a wave, and I can see that happening there. I can see a dramatic increase in violence coming, and when it comes, by no means whatsoever should they be allowed to make excuses for it. You know, well, it was the mishandling. No, take responsibility, mm-hmm. own up to it, and do not repeat the same behavior. It's simple. It's pragmatic, and that's what the VASCA drives on.
Exactly. I already see this mentality collapsing, and I already see the results. And of course, the ones responsible are very short-sighted people, so they don't even have in mind the effects this will have. And when the economy collapses, of course, they are the ones who do not have any backup securities at all. The wave of catastrophe will wash them away at the very first rank of victims.
Let us see it. Let us see it. This is where we need some actual artistic expression of what's going on there. And not art. I mean, you know, I've already tasted that in abundance. But I'm talking about, I would love to see a painter's rendition of actually that state, that mental state of anguish almost, because you can't be the only citizen there that is outraged. And yes, I'm in agreement with you. If it reaches that point, then it most likely will wash it away before it could go even much further.
I don't have to complain that much. Of course, it's costing me lots of money, but I'm doing well, so it's still the thought is only I could even do better. And of course, my very selfish interest would be to even do better. Of course, that is also a right I have, or a right I claim for myself. There are other people who are really having much more problems. I see the people who the hardworking people who really don't earn a lot. They own just enough to support themselves, and sometimes not even that. And even from them, the money is taken away. So these must be the ones who will really get outraged, and these will also be the ones who might bring about the violence you've talked about. I can easily imagine that.
That's exactly who I have in mind.
No surprise.
Absolutely. This is where all sorts of instances will open up. You know, situations like this is where, and government knows this. They know exactly what they're doing. You know, just today we found out, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get into this so that we mm-hmm. can get past it.
Yeah, sure.
I did want to mention Amy Winehouse, and I think it's a hell of an opportunity. When you take away people's hard-earned money, Well, it creates not only violence, but it creates situations where it gives way to poverty. And wherever you see poverty, you're going to see the drug element. You're going to see an element of criminal behavior. You're going to start seeing normal people that would be functioning in a society with a good mental health state had it not been for the stupid ideas of politicians that like to have their ideologies almost seen as religion. And that's what it will create. And people like Amy Winehouse, I can honestly tell you, I've never listened to her music. I wouldn't even know who she is if it wasn't for her criminal drug behavior that was displayed all over the media over here. And I remarked to several people, you know, well, she's going to be dead probably inside of 5 years. And it didn't surprise me a bit when I found out that she turned up dead today. And that these are the conditions that are perfect for creating monsters. And sometimes monsters are necessary just to make those very politicians that created these things have it blow up in their face.
To transport a message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I guess we're going to move on to our next segment. I know that we're close to running out of time. What I'd like to do is just go ahead and reveal just a little bit. Bear with me just 1 second here. I've got a little something in mind here that I kind of kept a little bit hidden from you. What I want to do, Prometheus, is just kind of bleed into a little bit. I hate to go off of the subject because I could really talk about it all day. But going in, this week's episode on Vasker Radio is a very good friend of mine, a very good friend of yours. He's been active in so many different things, but I have been talking with Mr. C.W. Helsmite over this past week, and I've been kind of picking his brain a little bit, and I asked him what the Vasker really meant to him. He really did think about it, but in the long run, it dawned on him that the Vasker has always been in his life. He revealed that as a child, it was almost everything that he was attracted to were of the violent aesthetic. You know, his toys, his cartoons, his monsters were the likes of G.I. Joe, Kung Fu grip action figures, toy military and martial arts weapons. He played and he watched contact sports such as football. He had a hell of a temper for a child, and he was not to be messed with. He was a fighter as a child, he was a fighter as a teen, and he's been a fighter as an adult. He joined the military. He trained to kill people, not only with various weapon systems, but also his hands. His current employment has put him in danger. He's literally locked in a fortress with 1,500 inmates every day. There are times even when he has to use force just to maintain control, but he actually enjoys using that force. A lot of people are familiar with his band. I know that you're familiar with it, Predatory Mindset. Let me explain to you his philosophy behind it as regarding Predatory Mindset. He views it as oneself as set apart from the herd, as being elite, the predator. It's a violent creature. It mostly feeds at night even. And he honestly feels that he fits right in with the whole concept of the Vasker, and I couldn't agree more. But Prometheus, if you would, welcome our guest.
I do. I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Helsmite, and of course he is the prototype of the Vasker-inspired person. I can only second everything that you have just said. His band, Predatory Mindset, the first demo is absolutely amazing. I remember listening to it back then, and he's doing an excellent job there. The later material is even more impressive, and I can't wait to hear the song we have on the show today, Not Like Most by Predatory Mindset. He is an impressive individual, definitely, and it's an honor to welcome Mr. Helsmite here.
Welcome back to Vasker Radio. Prometheus, let's welcome this week's guest, Mr. C.W. Helsmite.
Indeed. Welcome, sir. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm honored to be here.
Of course, we all know Predatory Mindset, and I've very much enjoyed listening to your band. I remember your band from the first demo, which I have also enjoyed very much. I like this straightforward approach to thrash death metal you are doing there, and I'm interested in hearing which bands you would say have inspired you most doing Predatory Mindset.
Well, I would have to say Slayer would probably be the most influential band on me. Old school, Max Cavalera era, Sepultura, old Obituary from the early 90s
had a
very big impact on me.
Maybe the Cause of Death album, it sometimes reminded me of that a little bit.
Oh yeah, Cause of Death, actually that's right on the money, my favorite Obituary album for sure.
That's excellent.
Very interesting response. I've always felt that the 90s were my decade, if you will. The bands and the sounds that generated in the 90s, it's amazing how their impact just kind of stood in that era and then almost lay dormant for so long, and then it just sprang right back to everybody's attention. I hear a huge Cannibal Corpse now if I listen to you guys, and how much of an impact was Cannibal Corpse on you as far as when you create your art?
Cannibal Corpse is definitely a huge influence on me. I listen to them constantly. I listen to Slayer constantly. Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman were my idols as far as modeling my guitar style. Pat O'Brien from Cannibal Corpse, definitely a huge model for some of my guitar style. Pretty much, I always have that music in my head, so that's what I end up coming up whenever I write my riffs.
I remember you had been in the armed forces back then, Chad. How well did that go together with playing in your band Predatory Mindset?
Actually, it went well pretty good because I was actually sponsored by my command. We were actually given room to practice in by our command officer. We had started a program called Music for Morale, and basically what we were trying to do was grab Marines and sailors, airmen, army soldiers, trying to pull them out of the bars and getting in trouble and basically making the Americans look bad on foreign soil and trying to give them something productive to do besides going out and underage drinking and basically acting like a bunch of idiots. So.
Sounds great.
So
the Army was kind of supportive. That's, of course, an advantage.
I was in the Marines, but yes, absolutely. They were 100% supportive.
That aspect... When I first met you online, when I got acquainted with you, and knowing that you were currently in service, and Predatory Mindset, how it clicked with me, it was a great concept. And where are you going now? Are you going to be forwarding on with your music, or?
I do plan to pursue it right now. As soon as I get the equipment that I need, a lot of our older music, we relied a lot upon John Frerichs, which was a bass player. He had all of the equipment that we were using as far as recording purposes. So now that we're separated, I kind of have to get my own stuff. Once I get all this stuff together, I'm going to be right back in there getting everything. I've written a lot of material that I haven't been able to record yet. So,
gotcha. Are you going to be the sole member of the original setup?
I am actually going to try to do all of the guitar tracks myself, program the drums, and then send the tracks off to my former vocalist for him to be able to do the vocals, so we'll still have a, like a pseudo Predatory Mindset going. Just the two of us. So.
That's awesome. What do you think about that, Prometheus?
I think that's the modern way to go about music, and it's nice to see how the media also opens the gates for new ways of arranging tracks and planning the music that would have been impossible back in the days when nobody had computer with internet connection and these things. One of the delights of our infernal machines.
Something that I've always admired about this genre is the tribal feel, the tribal instinct, if you will, that is there in death metal, in good solid thrash death metal. And I hear that with predatory mindset, just like I hear it with Cannibal Corpse and Obituary. Even other artists, of course, that miserably failed with it. The concept and the overall message is still there. And what I was trying to relate with you earlier in the week, Chad, is the Vasca itself and how relevant it is now. Of course, it's a concept that has recently surfaced, but what I want to ask you is, now that you've become acquainted with what the Vasca is, do you see yourself using it more and being more attentive to the violent aesthetics in the art that you're going to be creating?
Oh, absolutely. Everything that I do involves Vasca. Everything from even my childhood, from growing up, everything that had to do with violence is, you know, completely attractive to me. It's really funny. So my chosen profession, everything I've ever done, contact sports, martial arts, everything, just said that my choice of toys as a child, everything had something to do with the violence, you know, so it's kind of part of me.
So it's a recurring theme,
oh, yeah.
if you will.
Absolutely. Especially when I chose the name Predatory Mindset, you know, it's just basically being of a predatory mindset. You were separating yourself from putting yourself above the rest, and just kind of want
top of the food chain.
Yeah, top of the food chain. You never wanted to be a victim. Never wanted to be part of that herd culture. Just kind of ruling over the mob, I guess you'd want to say.
That's what I hear in the track Not Like Most. That was one of my reasons for. I was excited to find out that was the track going to be selected to play on this week's episode. And Prometheus, if it's okay with you, let's dive right into it. It's called Not Like Most by Predatory Mindset, only here on Fast Radio.
So let's get the acoustic tank moving, man.
Go. Radio.
And Vasque Radio is back on the air. That was Not Like Much Without Predatory Mindset. Join with us on this week's episode is Citizen C.W. Helsmite. Where else can the listeners find you on the web or even out in the real world, my friend?
Well, right now I've got a page up on Reverb Nation. I've got like 4 or 5 tracks up there that you can listen to for now. That's actually under construction.
It was my pleasure to be a fan of your page there at Reverb Nation. And to even recommend you. I'm finding a lot of useful tools myself at Reverb Nation.
Maybe one more thing regarding the track we've just heard, Not Like Most, which really is really amazing and has really blown away everything, if I can say so. Is that part of your current album, or of the latest album? On which album can we hear that one?
That is actually on the second demo. There was a second demo that we did after we lost 2 of our members to a deployment to Iraq, and it ended up just being the vocalist, the bass player, and myself. So I ended up doing all of the guitar tracks, the solo, and then of course all of the lyrics were always mine, regardless. But we ended up just doing that without him. I never actually got to play that song live because we were. Brought from a 5-piece down to a little quartet. So.
Absolutely.
So I have to get that demo as well.
Oh yeah, I can email you the tracks if you'd like.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
You got the freebies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What I'd like to go into now that you're back stateside, and for the last couple of I don't know how long you were. You kind of took a brief hiatus from your online presence. I know myself. I always enjoy speaking with you, and it was great to see you come back. I knew that before you did take your leave from the net or from the presence, if you will, that that you shared with an elect few of us that you're currently working in the United States prison system.
Correct.
And what I'd like to ask you about is, on what levels of violence are you experiencing there inside of the prison system? And I'd like to ask you about, are you seeing any reformation with the inmates at all, or do you really think it's a pipe dream that most Americans have?
Well, which one would you let me to go first? Which question?
You feel free to take with it however you will, my friend. Vasque Radio is completely unscripted.
Okay, excellent. As far as the violence goes in the prison system right now, it really, really varies. There's a lot of, in the federal prison system, there's a lot of gang-related violence. There's a lot of drug-related violence. It's basically, some places, it's basically they brought the streets inside the prison. It's got its own little culture. It's like a little country inside of a gate, instead of a big fence with people keeping them inside. So you really, really got to watch what you're doing. You got to watch how you present yourself. You have to watch how you act, how you talk to people. It's a real dangerous game. I mean, it's 1 minute you're sitting in your office, you're going to do a round to make sure nobody's doing anything they're not supposed to, and the next minute you could be in some real big trouble if you don't know what's going on around you. So, it's some of the inmates, I can say yes, the reformation type thing is good for them. There's a lot of them that are getting their GEDs inside. A lot of them that are doing apprentice programs, becoming plumbers and things like that, actually getting some skills that they could use if they decide to apply them once they get outside. But obviously that's up to them if they're going to apply those skills or if they're just going to be coming right back to prison as soon as they get out. It's just never can tell sometimes.
Prometheus, I'm sure you're anxious to get your teeth in this.
Yes, that's interesting, because around here detention in prison is said to be usually quite comfortable altogether. And I recall an acquaintance of mine who works in the same profession as you once jokingly stating that it is comparable to a middle-class hotel in Russia. If somebody's in prison over here. What are your experiences with the standard of living of the inmates?
I would agree that think they're a little more comfortable than they should be. Definitely.
Absolutely. And they probably have TV as well, and
they have televisions. They have televisions, and of course, they actually just installed computers for them to be able to email the people, and which I thought was rather odd. Whenever they installed them,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they have a music area where they can play music. They took all the weights out, which was a good thing, because a lot of those guys were trying to get bigger than the officers, so it could be a problem.
I would also guess that some of these weights could be used to beat people or to throw at people or something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another reason why they took them out.
Makes sense.
How much right does Hollywood get it in their movies?
I would say there's a lot more activity in the movies, because a lot of the bad stuff is really... it happens sporadically. It's not like every day you rush in there and there's a riot going on every day. It's not like that. I mean, sometimes we go weeks and months without even a single incident. It's just whenever the incidents do happen, they're normally huge. So, you know, people die, get seriously hurt, officers get hurt, and they have to take extended leaves of absences. It gets pretty bad sometimes.
My personal opinions, of course, are mine. The privileges that you spoke of absolutely disgust me as a tax-paying citizen. The idea that these people are enjoying their detention, if you will, you know, that upsets me. I like to think that the inmates, I like to think that it should be a privilege to be an inmate, that it's a way of escaping death. I think also that many of the people that are in there, when it comes down to other issues, of course, well, it's just that, it's other issues. But for the most part, most of the people don't even deserve the right to have that privilege of being an inmate. And my views are a little harsh, of course, but it is what it is. And as a citizen, I just personally, I thank you for the job that you're doing. You help me sleep better at night knowing that these maniacs are where they belong. And if it weren't for people like you, you know, actually keeping us safe as citizens, it would be a whole, we would be experiencing more of what just happened in Norway.
Right.
I would like to do the same thing, even though there's an ocean between us, but...
That means a lot to me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
People listening out there, go check out Predatory Mindset. Listen to what this man helped create while he was servicing and protecting and giving you your right to the freedom that you have. Mr. Helsmite, thank you so much for being
Absolutely.
On Vast Radio.
One more comment I would like to throw in, if I may.
Sure.
I sometimes miss the quarries you see in old movies where the inmates have to work in quarries carrying heavy stones. And I think this is an excellent system of punishment.
Exactly. I don't see it that way. I see it as, you know, most of these inmates are repeat offenders. You know, it's not their first time, you know, especially if they get to the level that Mr. Helsmite is at. You know, understand that here in the United States, we have a federal system and then we have a state system. And where Mr. Helsmite is at, he's got some of the worst inmates that you could possibly have. But at the same time, the federal penitentiaries are a place of luxury when compared to a state facility. And these people know this. They know that they can go right back out on the streets, put their hands right back in crime, and what, have the worst of going right back to a federal system that's going to cater to their needs, allow them to have commissary, allow them to influence what you want to call pop culture, which absolutely disgusts me. You know, we look around, we drive downtown, and you'll see hundreds of black kids walking around with their pants down around their knees, and then you can go right uptown and you'll see hundreds of white kids with their shorts down around their knees, and it looks like they've taken a big crap in their pants. Let me tell you something, that started right here in the prison system. A lot of the trends that you see on the street started right in these prison systems, and these prison systems are reflecting now into our neighborhoods, into our children, you know, into the mindset of these people, into these herds like people. And I don't care what they do, I don't care how quick it is that they come to their demise, but when the prison system starts reflecting into a modern society, there's definitely something wrong there. And That's what I'm saying. My views are a lot harsher. The prison system needs to be something that's going to be, you know, nobody wanted to go to Alcatraz. You know, the gangster, back then, Alcatraz was very a notoriety-like town. Criminals don't fear these prisons. It's not anything that is a real threat to them. If anything, the gangs inside the prisons are. But how does it become to where that these gangs are allowed to be there in the first place? I mean, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Mr. Hellsmite, what is your opinion of what I just said?
Well, the gangs on the inside are, you pretty much can't stop them. A lot of the administrators and things view the prisons as, you know, these people allow us to run these institutions because if they wanted to take them, they could. Of course, we could go back and get them, but for the time being, I mean, they could amass and take these places. So a lot of the administrators try to treat them in a way to where they're basically pacifying them. They don't want them plotting and planning and doing all these dastardly deeds, I guess you'd call them, because they just want them to be pacified, and basically the officers there are glorified babysitters, honestly. I find myself a lot of times looking around going, what is the deal? But, you know, I can't get into the politics. I just have to do my job.
Sure.
You know, kind of watch my back, watch my fellow officers' back, and just make it home.
Well, I wouldn't even dream of you not doing anything more than your job. But it is the powers that be. I feel that this whole gang aspect inside of the prison system, I mean, if you take away a man's dignity, which when he goes into that prison system, he should no longer have the privilege of having one in the first place. And if you strip that man's dignity from him, why would he have any reason to participate in a gang? I mean...
Well, so sometimes the gang culture on the inside will actually help with security because they'll police the room. And that actually takes a lot of... takes a lot of the you know, the bullshit off of the officer sometimes. So they'll actually police their own, you know. I mean, and if the inmates respect you, so, you know, and an inmate has given you a hard time, some of them that are in the same gang or whatever will be like, hey, Officer Hardy, don't worry about that guy. We'll take care of that for you, you know. And they'll take care of it for you. So, you know,
I can't even imagine that mindset. And, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like I'm somebody who can't even influence what goes on inside there because it's a complete anathema to me. But the idea, man, thank you so much for what you do. I mean, that's really all I know to say. But I have my opinions of it, and it's not directed towards you. It's directed towards the people that allow these things to be where they are now.
I don't, you know, honestly, I'm not too much of a prankster. I used to whenever I was a child, but it was mean stuff, you know, like put in, you know, it was basically stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, like putting like firecrackers in people's mailboxes and things like that. But then, I guess that's not really a prank, that's more of vandalism, I guess you'd say. But,
vandalism.
Yeah, I thought it was funny then, but...
Woo! What are them kids throwing fireworks in my mailbox?
Right.
Yeah. I think probably also the prison system is not that much the place to apply pranks every day. You can't really say, well, it's your lunch break, and well, the prank is that I leave you locked in your cell and there's no lunch break or something like that.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something that we did one time. I was working for the state of Florida, and there we met this young kid. He was probably about 17 or 18. He just come in, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I had a little cartridge from a tent. And basically what I told him, I was like, hey, you know, so-and-so, come with me. I'm going to take you in there. We're going to do a hepatitis test in the toilet. All right? So I'm going to take this, and I'm going to drip it into the toilet. If it turns black, that means it's positive. And once it's positive, I need you to write a report about it. And he's like, oh, okay. So he takes it, and I send him into the range, and he goes down there on all the toilets, and he puts it in there. Of course, it's black ink, so all of the toilets turn black. So he comes running back to me. He's like, oh, they're all positive. Yeah. So, you know, and I had him writing reports for like 4 hours about hepatitis in the toilets with the hepatitis test kit. And then I sent him to see the lieutenant with the, what he'd reported back. And it was pretty funny when he figured out that we were just screwing with him.
That's good.
So it's just the funny thing was is that he was just gullible enough to I handed him the cartridge from a pen and told him to put the drop in there, and I'm like, if it turns black, it's positive. And he was amazed that all of them were positive. So,
I mean, which other color should it turn?
I don't know. I didn't even think that far ahead, to tell the truth.
It was an intelligence test, maybe.
Pretty much, and he failed miserably.
But that's entertaining.
All right.
That's great.
That I'm looking at. I haven't really pulled it off yet, but I've got it together. I've got it in a pretty good idea of what I'm going to be doing. It's a really simple prank. It's not going to be that difficult, but just, you know, everybody really has their nose in everybody's affairs, so people are paying attention to you when you're driving down the road, whether you realize it or not. And if one was to just, you know, throw a car seat up on top of their vehicle and have it mounted up there to where it's going to stay in place, you can either use magnets or even strap it on. They're not going to pay any attention to that. Put a baby doll in that thing and then just go up right around downtown and just see what happens. I'm sure that you're going to have a crowd of people coming after you. I think that the idea came from Jackass, but it's one that I'm wanting to try out, and if I can get some video of this, then I will definitely try to include it with them.
That's hilarious.
I wish I could be your cameraman. That's funny.
But yeah, some people might come to you and ask you, "May I give you my kid?"
Maybe you could charge. Maybe you could charge people to give them rides.
Absolutely.
My prank of the week has some similarity with the blue screen of death we have mentioned last episode, if you remember that. It also targets our lovely infernal machines in a funny way. The idea is to alter system sounds of a PC, such as the Windows welcome sound. You might know that. You can do this by adding strange effects to it. This can be done with very common and simple software. Well, cool edit, Samplitude and all that. For instance, you can use an effect like slowing down the sound file altogether, which is a very simple thing, but it makes an impression such as a device with low battery, or you can add other scary effects such as distorted voices or something. And I must admit that I prefer to apply this little trick to scare people a little bit, or to, if you will, exploit their own superstitions. People who are who easily believe in spook stuff, they will feel that there's something spooky going on, or that's sometimes funny because some people are very easy to scare, and you should try that. It's quite funny.
I'm actually plotting it right now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. Getting to the sound card isn't going to be difficult at all.
It's not difficult because you only have to go to drives. I needed some time to figure this out, but it's easy. You only have to go to drives to C, which is the main drive, and then go to Windows, and then look for the media folder. And the media folder is the one where all the sounds are in wave format or MP3. And then you copy these. You copy these and use the copy to edit and add sound effects and everything. And then you simply substitute the original file with the manipulated one.
And that's like, I know Mr. Hells might still with us, but just imagine putting like a paper death by Slayer, having that loaded when your grandparents' computer comes on. That would be
that might be shocking. Yes,
that's one of my favorite Slayer songs, by the way. Pray for Death from the Hell Waits album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's a great album.
Definitely.
I was thinking, you know, to take that, put it on my grandparents' computer when it loaded up, have that come through the sound card like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Should be possible. At least a clip from the track. Try that. I like more these mysterious things. Like you can't figure out what's happening. There's some backward masking and strange voices and strange sounds and something that might really give you the impression of something very odd happening.
A possessed computer.
Yeah, something like that.
That's funny. It's very amusing.
So, I like that with people who are unstable in a way.
Well, all right, Prometheus, let's take a short break. Mr. Hellsmite, thank you so much for joining Basker Radio.
Indeed.
Know that when you get with your future projects, with your future plans with art, we would most definitely like to have you back on Basker Radio.
Yes, anytime.
Sir. Thank you, gentlemen. I was honored.
It was a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
All mine. Thank you.
Thank you. And all the best for your future endeavors and for your band.
Yes, sir. You'll hear from me again. Don't worry.
I'm sure. We stay in contact.
Just for the listeners out there, Mr. Hellsmite has been working his ass off at the prison system, and he's probably wiped out right now, but the man is such a beast that he came on Basker Radio, and it means a lot to me and Prometheus, and thank you so much, man.
Definitely.
And when you rest it up, send me an email.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
Radio. And last but not least, we're going to present you the tracks that we are playing for this week's show. Tyr, my friend, which track are you going to play?
I am going to be wrapping everything up. You're going to hear my last track is going to actually close out this week's episode. I have not aired this track as far as any of my personal endeavors. You won't find it at the website. You're not going to be able to listen to it. It's not been on Radio Free Satan. It's not available other than on the Chaos Magnet. And it is closing credits. You can actually preview the track if you visit the CD Baby account, and it allows you to actually get a little glimpse of it. And many people have asked me about it because it is a little different from all of the rest of the material. But interesting enough, Closing Credits was the first track that I recorded for the Chaos Magnet. I was consulting with the Satanic Scriptures by Dr. Anton LaVey because I wanted the Chaos Magnet to be the complete opposite, the complete reversal of In Through This Devourer, my first album. And the result, of course, was the Closing Credits. And that will be the track that you hear from me as a way to close out the show this week. And I understand you have quite the treat for our listeners this week.
My track of the week breaks ranks in so far that it is not a piece of the Invisible War this time, but a track that fits the avenue of noisy guitar-driven sound, such as the track of Predatory Mindset. It is a song titled New End by Janet Jackson, the hardcore band I used to play in before I started the Invisible War. And this track is from Janet Jackson's self-titled album that came out in 2005.
Radio.